Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So tonight, I actually have two good friends of mine. I have Pick the Flick podcast with me. I also have Heidi with me as well. Josh couldn't make it or anything like that. He was called in like the last minute. So Mark with the movie blog cannot make it tonight, but hopefully I'll be able to have him on sometime later on. But with further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's welcome them to the show and let's do it. And hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi.
And I just want to welcome everybody. We're doing our Earn a Scare Stupid review. And the first thing I want to ask you guys, when did you guys first heard about Earn a Scare Stupid? Where were you? How old were you guys when you first laid eyes on this masterpiece of this nostalgia?
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember. Was I think 13 to 14? It's obviously not the age range for this, but it just came up under the radar. You know, I've seen an Ernest movie before in my youth. I can't remember if it was the one where he went to jail or not. But I was like, oh, sure. I'll give it a watch. Why not? It's Halloween season. What do you know? I was just about to dig it.
And how did you feel about it nostalgically as a kid and seeing it now?
Well, I feel like if I'd watched it then, I probably would have ranked it a little bit higher. But since it's past my time, I can see the nostalgic effect and how people like it. I do. I really do.
What about for you, Heidi?
Okay, so I was probably like maybe 16 or 17. I was always a big fan of like Ernest Goes to Jail. I mean, Ernest Goes to Camp. And then I followed all the Ernest movies. Back then as a kid, I think I was more interested in like the the graphic effects and stuff like that, because I didn't realize how much went into it. Like, one of my bigger favorite movies I loved was like Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Mm-hmm. And the person who did the costumes and the graphics for that is the same person who did it for Ernest Scared Stupid. Right. Matter of fact, as we get further in, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But now that I'm a little older and I've watched it and rewatched it and stuff like that, and actually working on some films with FX and stuff like that, they really did good back in, you know, the earlier times compared to what we have now. Like, if they remade the movie now, it could be
the more CGI.
Yeah, more like definitely more animated and stuff like that. But, you know, working with what they had, they did a great job for back then.
They definitely did. And what would you say that your nostalgia rating would be as well?
Back then, I probably would have rated it an 8. Now, because of, you know...
Well, we'll get into... After, towards the end, we'll get to the stripping away the nostalgia and how you would rate it.
Okay.
Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to strip away the nostalgia. Like, once we get into, like, breaking it down, we're going to go scene by scene and then strip it away. So, okay. Basically, anything that we're talking about as far as nostalgia goes, has never even happened. It's a Fugazi. It didn't happen or anything like that. So, therefore, we don't speak of it after we end up stripping it away. It does not exist. But for me, as a six-year-old who went to see this movie in theaters with one of my friends, I got the living shit scared out of me as a kid in the movie theater. And I was laughing my butt off with Ernest doing his jokes, stuff like that. The one-liners, the ew. And then the knuckle sandwich, booger lips, meak. Yeah, all that stuff.
I lost it with the booger lips comment. That's hilarious. And, you know, it's always classic when Ernest does his ew, or yeah. You know what I mean, Vern?
Yep. Yeah, I do, Vern. So, but not? But yeah, as far as nostalgia for me, I would have to go at least an 8.5 out of 10. For the simple fact of, I love Ernest. I ended up watching Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Goes to Camp. All those movies was actually part of Touchstone Pictures, which was also part of Disney at that time. So anything that was within that company with Touchstone was also a Disney movie, which Pretty Woman is also a Disney movie as well, because it was under Touchstone Pictures, believe it or not. So that's a little interesting fact I wanted to put out there for that.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Danny DeVito in Twins with Touchstone too?
I'm not 100% sure on that. That's something that I might have to look up if I ever decide to do a Twins review or something. Because I'm thinking about actually doing a Twins review sometime in the future, probably. Because I know that they are talking about doing a sequel to Twins, so that might be a fun little revisit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was released on October 11, 1991 for Ernest Scared Stupid. It grossed $14.1 million and marked the final film to be released by Touchstone Pictures as the end of the four-film deal. The next film in the series is Ernest Rides Again, which was released in November 1993, which bombed at the box office. There's also a little bit more trivia I want to bring up. The pizza being thrown at the bullies who try to attack the kids' treehouse are reused props from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to The Secret of the Ooze back in 1991. Both movies had the same prop master, Doug White, who also, like Heidi said, that did the makeup and stuff like that for Killer Clowns and stuff like that. But Eartha Kitt auditioned for the role of Old Lady Hackmore, casting director for this film, would later cast The Emperor's New Groove back in 2000, and Eartha's character of Yasma. That film is a favorite to the casting director. Both movies were released by Disney. And this is actually the fourth film in final Ernest film to be released under the Disney label Touchstone Pictures. The Ernest team initially signed a 3-picture deal with Disney after the success of Ernest Saves Christmas back in 1988. The deal was extended for 3 films to 6. However, Ernest Scared Stupid performed below expectations, causing Disney to permanently and their contract. The next Ernest film, Ernest Rise Against, like I mentioned in 93, was distributed independently, was a box office bomb, and was the final Ernest film to be released theatrically. Subsequently, Ernest films were made just for straight-to-DVD video market, and then some people believe that the reason why the film didn't perform as well at the box office as its predecessors is because many kids found it to be too scary. Many people agree that the thought of a troll stealing the souls of children and the troll's deaths to be very disturbing. Even John Cherry later realized in hindsight that he made Trantor too scary in there, and that's why it hurt the box office by $10 million. So there's a little small nugget of trivia that I've actually picked up. And also, too, this is also the dog that played Rimshot, they actually fired him after this because the dog was actually under
control. Wow. So. I actually loved the dog's name was Rimshot. I thought that was pretty cool.
Me too. It's just a badass name.
Did you know that, like, the trolls in the movie were actually some of the killer clowns that were repurposed? They did was change the nose and painted them.
They just went on ahead and redid the whole,
like you said about the pizza
part.
I thought that was cool.
Same here.
And also, wasn't the budget for them $9.6 million to do this? They had a budget set
$9,600,000.
Yeah, and then the film only earned like $14 million.
Right. In today's time, if you look at it, it'll be a $250 million budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is Joker 2, Forlay Doo-Doo. But anyways, but that's going to be it as far as the trivia goes. Now we're going to go on ahead, break this thing scene by scene. I can't wait to dive into this. So let's go on ahead. Let's dissect this thing. In a world where trolls rise from the ground, milk is a weapon of mass destruction. And one goofy man stands in the way. Welcome to the Movie Lovers Tonight podcast. We're about to dive into one of the greatest battles ever fought on Halloween. Ernest Scare Stupid. Join us as we discuss The Brave, The Clueless, the man with more facial expression than since Ernest P. Worrell as he attempts to save the town from an ancient evil with nothing but a carton of milk and sheer dumb luck. So let's go on ahead. Let's break this thing down. So, scene one, Trantor, a demonic troll who turns children into wooden dolls to feast upon their energy, is captured by townspeople, Braville, and sealed under a giant oak tree in the 19th century. The villagers, elders, a direct ancestor of Ernest named Phineas Worrell. Sorry, I did not mean to say penis. Establishes the seal under the condition that the Trantor can only be released on the night before Halloween and by the hands of a Worrell, and the roots of the oak tree where he's imprisoned cannot be disturbed. So the opening scene, I vaguely remembered. I remember the girl in the classroom and she's telling the story, but then I thought it just goes over to Ernest after that. I forgot that they actually show us the legend of the troll of Ernest's ancestor. And what did you guys think about the opening scene? I thought it was very, basically Salem's witch hunt, basically.
Well, if in the beginning, like when they did the scene, there was numerous clips from other horror movies and like science fiction classic, included like, what was it, 1922? I'm probably going to chop the name, but like
a bunch of other horror
Nosferatu, like White Zombie, The Screaming Skull and The Little Shop of Horrors. There was more to it, but like in the beginning, it just shows like little clips to help draw that in, and I thought that was very intriguing to like tell the story.
But let's see here. Slasher Fred says, this movie has many predecessors to Hocus Pocus, such as villains being accidentally resurrected from their grave and targeting young children and also being mistaken for someone in costume. Yeah, I totally agree with that. It does have some Hocus Pocus vibes, but also has some Jaws vibes too, because you have the mayor, well, he's not really corrupted or anything as far as the Jaws mayor goes or anything like that. But it's not on that same level of, I don't believe that there's a troll here. I think you're insane for believing that there's a troll here, even though there is a problem in this town. Just as the Jaws movie, the mayor's not believing Rhodey, believing that there's a shark in the water. So I think they have that kind of flavor to it as well. But I also wanted to point out the credits, though, like you mentioned, Heidi, though, too. It actually pulls you in and gives you some of that nostalgia from the black and white classic movies and stuff like that. And it sets the tone for Ernest as well, because he's actually introduced. And if you think about it, it's kind of like a Bond film in a sense, because he's going through all these other things in kind of an Ernest kind of way. And he's kind of going through those edits a little bit, too, as that's showing kind of like a Bond, James Bond kind of movie thing as well. But yeah, I just thought that was actually a clever way to actually introduce us into, you know, into the world of Ernest for Ernest Scared Stupid. But yeah, and then the slasher Fred says, I love the flashback scene of Ernest, and we see that as a kid. He always wears those same clothes. Yep, sure does. But what did you guys think of the opening scene, though? That's something I wanted to know from you guys.
If I could say something, I think that if they didn't tell us up front that this was a descendant of Ernest's family, I wouldn't have probably recognized Jim Varney as the guy who curses the troll. That's just a very strong testament to his range. It's probably the most restrained that you'll see him in this movie. But I did like the vibe that you kind of get, you know, like you mentioned earlier, the sailing thing, how families would be some great foreshadowing to how they come back later. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You kind of get an explanation as to why the trolls would become a conflict in the story. So I kind of like how they kind of came across in a circle. Opening just is terrifying off the rip.
What about for you, Heidi? What do you stand on the opening?
Well, the opening was a lot different than most of the Ernest. You know, it was a little bit more darker than normal.
Mm-hmm.
For Ernest, you know, but I think it was just enough to catch your attention, and I think that was very important for them to do that. And
I think so too.
I think the way they played it to draw people in closer to the story, like he said, you know, if we didn't know. Like, if it didn't show that, we wouldn't have picked it up. But also, the way that they just, you know, drew it, your attention into, like, his ancestry, I think that was very crucial to tell the story. But I wasn't expecting, like, the little girl to stand in front of her class and be, you know, that's something that was very creative on their behalf.
Yeah. That's something that I think that I thought that was fantastic, though, too, as well, because of the fact that what if they actually did this instead of it making more modern? What if they went on ahead and just gave us that? What if it was just Jim Varney as Ernest after the ancestor dies like a year or two later, and it's just him in his blue jeans and vest and stuff? Would you be invested into the two and that kind of thing, where now he's like a time traveler in this? In that kind of century, if they did something like that, or would you be more open to the fact that, oh, this is the 19th century, 100 years later, now we're getting into the whole entire mystical element of the trolls?
Well, I'm kind of bummed a little bit that this movie was a low blow for Jim Varney, because Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up, you know, and so. Knowing his talent and creativity and making people laugh, I don't know. I don't really know how to answer that one. I think that they could have targeted it better. I would have loved to see a little bit more of Jim's natural acting, his, you know, more than the storyline of
Ernest.
Of Ernest being like, of course, Ernest is the stupid character, but, you know, they told the story of, you know, that the worlds are just going to get stupider and stupider. Yeah.
Right.
As the family line goes on. And I mean, that explains Ernest in all the other movies, like why he, you know, it does give a backstory, which is great. But I would have loved to see a little bit more of like his, he did it, but not as much as he did in his other movies where he'd be like, ew, you know, his, that was his punchline. That was his, go-to that was guaranteed to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Pick? Like, what do you think?
I haven't seen many Ernest movies, so I'm probably not the best analyst to give you an explanation for that, but I wish I could have seen a lot more Ernest punchlines than, you know, the various characters that he'd be going through.
Let's see. Slasher Fred says, I love the opening credits sequence where you have the clips from B-horror movies, including The Little Shop of Horrors, but also from the original Nosferatu. This movie has some Monster Squad vibes, especially with the former bully and some other kids teaming up with Kenny to help him fight the troll. I love Ernest's line after he's given the axe, I have never known when to quit. Yeah, we're going to talk about all that in a few minutes as well. But yeah, then it goes into 100 years later. Elizabeth narrates the result about Bartlevis, legend of Tentor, and in how descendants of Connie's world, especially Ernest, will not be very smart whatsoever. For an annual classroom report at school, Ernest, who works at a garbage collector, helps her, Kenny Binder, and Joey build a treehouse on the exact branches that grows above Trantor. Old Lady Hackmore, a local supernaturalist hermit, finds them building it after Mike and Matt Murdock bullied Kenny by ruining the cardboard haunted house. So a lot's happening here. So let's go on ahead. Let's talk about the fact that you have the kids in the classroom making fun of Elizabeth for doing this. They're like, well, that's not anything that has to do with the report or anything. But of course, urban legends, part of the town, is part of the town history. So therefore, the teacher rules it in her and Elizabeth's favor. And then you have Ernest, who's actually stuck in the trash compactor at the very beginning of it, and doing his Ernest things, and especially whenever he takes out, I like how he takes out the battery out of the garbage compactor's controller. And then, of course, you already know that there's going to be some type of electricity or something that's going to happen to where it, the electricity powers the battery, winds up powering the thing back on, and the compact back on and everything, and starts trying to crush him. And then you have Ernest trying to stop the compactor. And then you have Rimshot, who's trying to stop it as well. And then you have Kenny and them coming out of school, and then they wind up shutting it down. But I just thought those scenes were pretty funny, though. When it, especially with that.
I think those scenes were hilarious. Although, when Ernest tried to stop the compactor, there was a little things that, like, I was being a little picky at, like, oh, Ernest, why would you not take the shovel and put in there rather than the baby doll head, you know? But you know, it's just, I was like, that's not smart thinking. But they're also trying to have a dumb character. But what made it hilarious is Ernest actually had a conversation with the doll, and right. I thought that was great humor to add into it. And the fact that Rimshot as a dog is trying to be his sidekick and stop it, that also added great humor to it.
Balance. Right.
Yeah, and it gave it a great chemistry, like you said.
But he also had that big, huge exhaust pipe, though, still trying to stop the compactor as well. That breaks, and then you have the shovel, and that breaks, and then you have baby doll, like, now I don't want to be sacrificed. Well, he winds up sacrificing the baby.
It's either me or you.
Either it's me or you. And then the kids wind up stopping the compactor, and then he brings them home. And then, you know, at that time, you have Elizabeth, Kenny, and then you also have his other friend, Josh. And they have this little clubhouse that I think that is supposed to be like a haunted clubhouse. And like, and she's, and Elizabeth's just going through the whole entire thing of, oh, they're gonna lose their eyeballs in this, in this house, and they're gonna do this. And Kenny's like, I, that's kind of gross, but I kind of like it. But I like the imagination that they think that this is gonna help them tackle on these bullies, and it's not gonna do anything. It's cardboard. It's there's bats being down, but it's us as kids imagining what it would be like to take, basically stand up for ourselves against these bullies, and using our imaginations to do so. But pick a flick. What did you think of the cardboard cutout house, and then also to the exhaust pipe and stuff like that in the compactor as well?
Well, regarding the cardboard cutout scene, I did love the theme of bringing your imagination as a kid. Imagination is one of the coolest things you can have. And it was such a nice looking little playhouse. Well, what was left of it, what happens later, it's just unfortunate what happens to it. But it was so nice to see them before all this conflict happens, just, you know, being kids, having a good time, using their imagination. Just to kind of see that take a turn as the story progresses. It's so unfortunate. But yeah, that trash compactor scene with Ernest was definitely frustrating. I get that he's stupid, but it's like so many ways he could have gotten out of that instead of what he was trying to do. And it's not the last time a Jen Varney character would get stuck in the compactor. See Toy Story.
No.
Obviously, he didn't directly voice it because he passed on. But come on.
But I also like how the trash is like this big, huge blob of, instead of it being like all over the place, it's all compacted together.
Like
it just comes all out in this big block.
And he just falls face flat out on the ground.
Let's see here. We have Slasher Fred that says the bully says she was supposed to do a history of the town, not Nightmare on Troll Street. Slasher Fred also says, I love the scene when Ernest is giving his prep talk but to Kenny, and you see him turn into these various characters. Yeah, I like that as well.
So I thought the clubhouse was amazing for their kids their age to build that. Back when I was their age, I was happy with a refrigerator box. You know, that was my clubhouse, and it didn't look anywhere neat as what theirs did. But like he said, with Ernest being stupid at the part, you know, like, come on, you could have done better like that. I kind of felt the same way. Like, you're dumb, but how do you have a driver's license, and how are you even classified to be a garbage man if you're that dumb?
Well,
so,
it's the mirror.
Obviously, you have there's got to be some type of training, but for humor, you know, I get it. And as far as like the kids go, John, I know you're a parent. Pick a flip. Are you a parent?
No.
Okay. You're child free here.
So here's my question. I, as a mom, would not let my kids go into the woods with someone 30 years old with the lack of common sense. Obviously, you don't have to be a parent to know that. But for entertainment purposes, like, I guess they knew Ernest pretty well and was okay with it.
Well, another thing, though, too, is this is a small town. I live in a small town. So everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows that they're safe with Ernest. So it's not like he's like a stranger to anybody. So everybody in the town knows him. Now, if it was like a big city like New York, and there's this guy who is supposed to be dumb and doing all this other off-the-wall stuff, yeah, then you have a problem because the city is huge. With this, it's a small town, so therefore a small town atmosphere. And that's also another thing I like is the fact that this is a small town, like a kind of like a Gremlins kind of feel to it as well. Mm-hmm. It's very atmospheric for its time. And matter of fact, that's actually how my small town looks like, in a sense.
I grew up in a small town, and my town was so small, it was actually a village. It was called the Village of Glen Iron. And for years, it was not even on the map. And when I told people where I live, they're like, you live where? And sorry, technical difficulty there. But I said, I live in Glen Iron. It's like right outside of this town. So we all knew everybody. And I was pretty much safe, but my parents were still a little strict about it. One day, I went off with the neighbors to go ride horse, and my mom seen me come home, and she's like, where were you? And I'm like, I was riding horse. You know, they're right there. Through, you could see me from the house. And she's like, yeah, well, that's a new person that we don't know that well. My mom literally beat my ass with a belt because, you know, she didn't know that person that well. But, like, they knew everybody around the surrounding.
Right.
So, you know, that movie having, like, the small town where everybody knows everybody, that is a good, you know, it does bring good vibes.
It does. And then I like how this is also setting up for them finding out the tree, finding the perfect tree for what they want and everything, right? So he winds up going to the first one, knocks on it. This one has too much bass. Goes over to the next one. And then he goes, this one's nice. He goes, oh, termites. Because it falls. And then they go into now, this is how I know this is white people. And things that white people do is like, oh, there's this shadowy place that looks kind of shadowy and dungy looking with some fog. Let's go in it. Let's go where it's bright and sunny and look for more trees. But nope, they go on ahead. They follow Ernest into this dark and dungy place. And this is where we actually get the whole story of it coming together, of what's going to happen.
You would definitely hear, if that movie had kids of the minority, they'd be like, I think my mom's calling.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go home. I know it's called Scared Stupid, but come on.
Right. I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to be scared silly because I'm going to go to the dance, go to that gym party, and we're going to be good to go.
Right. Well, I'm supposed to be. Bye.
Right, exactly. Deuces. I'm out. But I also want to back up to the fact, too, that the mayor is so... He's a douchebag towards Ernest, though, too. And not only that, but he also doesn't like the old lady either. Because he goes, what about that garbage dump that we have over there? And so he goes over to the old lady Cragmire's place, and she's like, I like the introduction to Eartha Kitt right off the bat.
Yes. Eartha Kitt's role was amazing. Like, I would have loved to play her role in that movie. I just loved how her whole vibe to it just brought more entertainment to it, because she was just so, you'd expect that in a creepy woods, creepy house, you know, someone right. like that to come out. And I just thought that was so fun for them to do.
I think so too. And it sets up the character perfectly. Like, she's like a little old gypsy woman. That's what I imagine with her, a voodoo woman that lives in this little small town. And that's what I love. You always have in small towns like a crazy person, and then you have the town's idiot, which is Ernest, and they go together simultaneously. Remember when we reviewed Friday the 13th, Heidi, where we actually had the crazy dude? This is exactly like this, in a sense, except for you have like old lady Hackmore instead. But I think it's perfect. I think that the way that they put these two outcasts in this, and they actually need to depend on each other, is a perfect way to go about it.
So. When they first introduce Old Lady Hackmore, Eartha Kitt comes out. You know, you get this feel of like the story of Hansel and Gretel into the woods. The witch, you know, they're eating at the house, but instead Ernest is out there like making noise. So when she comes out, she gives that vibe of the witch in the gingerbread house.
Yeah, and with a flamethrower.
Yeah, let's not forget the flamethrower,
the torch. But I liked how she goes, "Get off my property! This is not garbage. This is my stuff." And so she goes on ahead, and I like how Ernest is scared out of his mind and everything. Okay, she's good to go. I don't need to bother this woman. I'm good.
I don't need to clean anything with here.
And no. The mayor wants to clean up her property, but they send Ernest. Like,
this is a small town mayor who's lazy, like, who just wants to get reelected again. Probably.
Let's just have Ernest clean up the eyesore, because we can blame it on his stupidity. Yep.
That's what it is. It's the mayor. But what about for you, Pickup? Like, what did you think of Eartha Kitt's character coming into it, like, less than 5 minutes, like, maybe 10 minutes into the movie?
She opened the door just bursting with energy. That's probably got to be one of the best introductions. Are you that world kid? Get out of here. I struggled at the same time because all I can think of is just Yzma as a voodoo lady just concocting these plans. Like, aren't you supposed to be raising Cusco on the side? Why are you here? But right. Man, she was really great in this movie.
This is what happens when Catwoman gets old and she's cranky. This is basically what it is. But back over to the treehouse and stuff like that. So now we have them decorating the treehouse with all of Ernest's stuff. None of their stuff. It's all of Ernest's crap. But it looks nice for what they have. They layered it out. And then, of course, you see the wind blowing a little bit to show that there's some kind of aura effect coming up. And then you see Eartha Kitt's character looking outside. Old Lady Hackmore, and she's like, okay, something's going on here. And so then they wind up decorating the tree. It looks great to them. Old Lady Hackmore comes out, goes, oh, where? Okay, what's going on with the tree? What's going on? I don't know the exact quote. But yeah, she's like, something's going on. And so anyways, and then Ernest goes, well, it's not that bad.
Just, like, honestly, she sensed it.
You're right.
She had that sixth sense that picked that up. But, you know, when Ernest is like, it's not that bad. And then he goes into, like, it's not like I'm doing this as he does it.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, I definitely liked how they do that. And then he goes, look, I'll be right back, guys. I got to go down. And see what's going on here, right? So he leaves them to the treehouse. Then you have the two buttheads that are trying. Now he goes, oh, look at this. It'll be fun to destroy. I'm like, is that all you guys want to do? If I saw something like this, my first thought was, I want to climb this. This looks amazing.
But right. They're bullies, John.
I know. They're not thinking on the same level as me, okay? I know. I get it. But I liked how then all of a sudden you see, oh, now we get our revenge. So now you actually have all of them getting to have their revenge on them. And I love it. I love how they have the pizza prop from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in there, flinging the pizza at them with that little machine with the rubber arm that's going out there and extending the rubber arm. I love what they do to them. And then they wind up, goes, just wait until we catch you by ourselves and we tell our dads about it. I'm like, bitch, go back to your home. You got defeated.
I think the pizza slap in the face was the last straw for him. Like,
I think so.
You know, that was a little epic there. What was the other stuff that we're shooting out of the can, though? Was that like dog food? Was it?
Oh, that was like dog food, I think.
Yeah.
It was like spaghetti. I think that was spaghetti, if I'm not mistaken.
Eminem would know. I think it's spaghetti.
Yeah, it's spaghetti. Or at least I hope
it's Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah. She saw spaghetti.
Palms are sweaty. But yeah. And then, of course, Ernest comes back. Goes, okay, I talked to old Lady Hackmore. She thinks that the place is haunted. And nothing's going to... And she goes, what do you mean the place is haunted? Well, when a whirl goes like this on the day before Halloween and knocks on the tree like so, it's me, I have more. And then
keeps doing everything that he's not supposed to do, but explaining it in slow motion, kind of. Like, you're not supposed to do
this. A play-by-play of what he's not supposed to do.
Take your time, Ernest. We're not going anywhere.
And like, then, he gave the whole story of what not to do.
Right.
So demonstrative.
He frightens. Okay, now this is actually another thing. After they see the thunder, lightning, the kids scram. They get out of there. And then Ernest is there left alone while this is happening. And then the Trantor is actually just looking at him. It comes up to him and starts scaring him. Gets right in Ernest's face, pretty much. And he goes, oh, and then he's like, I don't taste very good. I'm not very good. He goes, don't eat me. And next thing you know, but he's covered with milk and he doesn't understand yet that that's actually out to destroy the trolls. It's through mother's care and stuff like that. So the troll runs away. And then you have, after that winds up happening, he goes over to, then after that, he finds Ernest and then goes over after the children at Barville. Joey is going home from the treehouse and falls into a muddy hole. While trying to get out, he reaches his hand and Trantor grabs it, pretending to be Ernest, and he transforms Joey into his first wind doll. What did you think of the special effects for it, for Joey, for the wind doll?
I thought they did a good job, like, really making that character. It's one of those moments where you're like, no, Joey, no, you know? But definitely, like, they did a, considering with what they had back then, they did a good job of transforming him from the kid to the doll. Like, most movies back then, it's a little, would be a little bit more cliche, I guess. Like, you already know what's gonna, how it would be. But, like, you could kind of see them from the 80s films to the 90s, how it's transitioning into something better. Right. And I actually appreciated how they did it.
Me too. I definitely like a lot of the look of the wood of, you know, the kid turn into a wind doll. Then the scary aspect of the fact that they're using Ernest's voiceover to lure the kids for Joey. I thought that was actually perfect. I thought the placement of that was really good. What about for you, Pickle Flick?
Oh, yeah, man. This is definitely a turning point. Just when you think that, oh, there might be some cartoonish little trolls. They might just do some little want power with magic or something. Oh, no, they are turning kids into actual wooden things, probably trying to sell them. I don't know what their purpose is for them, but that, from that point forward, is they're a threat. And you can definitely feel it from that point. But I do like how they are able to manipulate their voices to make people think, oh, this is somebody that I know, familiar. Let me go talk to them in this shadowy, dark place where I clearly cannot see them at all. And I'm not going to get captured. It's not going to be a problem.
And then after that, you have Ernest attempts to mount a defense against Trantor, but the town people do not believe he. Historian refuses to provide assistance, but Tom and Bobby Tulip sell Ernest phony troll weapons. Ernest finds Mrs. Hackmore, and they try to figure out how to destroy the Trantor. Kenny and Elizabeth come trying to find Ernest. They are followed by Trantor as he tries to get them. He finds a boy in it.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
On a skateboard, he grabs him and carries him over his shoulder to the tree house. He soon has a second victim. So I like how the fact that you have like an innocent bystander who just happens to be on a skateboard at the wrong time, but the right time for the troll to get him. So I like the fact that he's not going just after that one. He's going after the skateboarder instead. So I like the fact that they're not. Yeah. I think that's actually a perfect way of doing it instead of like, okay, well, I can't get to these kids yet, so let me go ahead and collect this one, and I can get the other ones later on if I need to. So I like the thought process with that. And also, too, whenever Ernest goes over to Kenny's house to tell the cop, because there's a big troll. And he's like, Ernest, there's no troll. Yes, there is. There's a troll. I'm telling you, there's a troll here.
Calm down.
Calm down. It's going to be okay. Because not that it's kind of things.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
At that moment, it's like none of the townspeople remembered the story, you know, of like the ancestry.
Well, if you think about it like this, okay.
Except for the old lady.
Well, the old lady is understandable because of the fact she's got the books on trolls that she didn't want to open up.
Right.
Well, it also shows back when she was younger that she experienced it. Like, and it tells more at the end of the story, at the end of the movie. I don't think we really grasp the concept until towards the end. But in the beginning, it kind of shows her witnessing it. And that's right. How she got into studying it, because she lost friends or family member or whatever they were to her.
That's true. That's actually true, because I don't think she would actually have a bunch of voodoo books or anything like that on other things or anything. I think at that time she was probably more sane than she was anything else, and that troll just traumatized her to the point where that's all she's gonna be after.
Yeah, she was a mad scientist working for Doc Brown back in the day.
But I love the whole entire thing. This is the only person that Ernest can actually go to depend on, while other people are actually shunning him away.
Right.
And then you also have Bobby and them that are trying to make money and off of him because he's gullible. So it's like, okay, well, we have troll nunchucks. We also have troll spray. We also have this other troll stuff. And Norris buys every single bit of it.
And you notice, like, Pick-A-Flick probably never noticed because he didn't get to watch the other ones. But I don't know if you've noticed, John, but Bobby is usually in a lot more. He was in the other Ernest movies with Chuck.
Yeah,
but there was no Chuck in this one.
That's because him and the director had a falling out.
Okay.
That's why they had to replace him and stuff.
And they placed him with Tom. And I guess Tom, to my knowledge, Tom could have been like their younger brother because of the similarities, or did they just look alike?
They look alike to the point where it's like, okay, well, he's just going to be the new character. He's just going to be replacing the old character. Which, to be honest with you, at that time, they never thought about actually just renaming the character a certain name. But I think they should have just went on and said, hey, look, this is my brother or something. Just
right. And they don't give you no backstory of like what happened to Chuck. And most things, when they cut a character in like most movies or whatever, when they cut a character, there's a backstory to what happened. And, you know, if Disney didn't cut their ties and end it, maybe the other movies that they were supposed to do would have given the backstory to what happened to Chuck.
I don't know. I think that the Ernest movies is its own separate entity, which each story is its own adventure, to the point where nothing is really canon.
Okay.
So I think that them just doing that with no backstory is fine. Because look at how many Ernest movies that we got. Like Ernest Goes to Jail and stuff like that. They never really broke down any kind of backstory on any of them too.
Right.
So I think it's their own separate adventure. That's just me thinking on that kind of scale. But if there's like rebooted today, yeah, they would definitely have something in there that would do that.
Yeah. Kind of like with Adam Sandler, when he did like Big Daddy and Happy Gilmore, he always had that one guy, the guy that played the homeless man or the food delivery.
Yeah. Rob Schneider.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob Schneider. That's who it is.
Hip-hop Robinist. Yeah.
Yes. So like kind of Chuck and Bobby's the Rob Schneider to Ernest.
Right, because they embody Ernest, and especially with Ernest Saves Christmas, as well being the airline people that direct the airline traffic. They are also in Ernest Goes to Jail. They're in every single Ernest movie. They're even in Ernest Goes to Camp as well. So, yeah, I definitely like how they're actually treating him as an idiot as well and exploiting him.
Right, right.
And Ernest and Kenny form a troll fighting squad and set traps around the neighborhood. At home, Elizabeth is sitting in bed and hears something from underneath. She looks and only finds a stuffed bear. She turns around to find Trantor sitting next to her. She becomes his third victim, meaning he only needs two more to unleash his army, while Kenny and his friend Greg, who is dressed as a Native American, are walking. Trantor uses Elizabeth's voice to lure Kenny away into a sewer, and then takes Greg as his fourth victim because this is Stephen King's It. So that's what I got out of that whole entire sewer thing. It's like, okay, well, 1990, you also had Stephen King's It, the miniseries. So let's go ahead. Let's try to bring that into us. It traumatizes even more. But
I definitely got the Pennywise vibe off of that.
Yeah. I was even more creeped out watching that scene, even though I was expecting it. But it still gives me goosebumps because of the fact I'm also expecting it, though, too. But Troll Fighting Squad. Okay, so another thing, though, too, is I like how Ernest and them are setting up traps, and one of them happens to be a compactor again. And it's like, free kids here is on one of the stickers where the troll can eat the kids inside the compactor that he has. Then he's like, well, just imagine there's this troll. He's just strolling along in his troll self and goes, oh, there's kids here. Okay. So he's going to go inside it. And then guess what? We're going to shut it. And there we have our troll. Our troll is going to be trapped. And then the lid slams shut on his hand as the kids are walking away. And because he wants to get his lollipop, and just as that happens, the lid closes on his hand and goes, looks at his hand, and then screams in earnest fashion. But I thought that little bit works for me. It still makes me laugh today. But I also like the little moments where he doesn't see the troll, and he opens the truck door and the troll runs up to him and he hits the troll with the door. I like that little moment as well.
I think it added great comedy to that, like when they do stuff like that.
Right, because he's so invested into trying to catch the troll to the point where he actually misses the troll.
Right.
But what did you guys think of the traps, especially the big huge beard trap that he has?
That was funny. And the way Rimshot just kind of left him out there to dry. Like, Rimshot, can you give me a hand? I didn't mean to call you ugly. Come back, Rimshot. Rimshot's
you look like an ugly kid.
Bye. And all you can hear is just him in pain in the background. That's the next scene. Like, is it going to be okay? I guess he's going to be okay.
It's like Looney Tunes, like where you see Wile E. Coyote trying to catch the Roadrunner.
Absolutely.
Right. He feels like a Looney Tunes character, the way he just responds, because somebody just probably would have killed him.
But yeah, then it breaks into Elizabeth's room, where the mother is trying to tell her, hey, look, you need to go in and dress up and everything, and so that way we can go to the school. I'm like, damn, is it that quick already? Like, You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no moments where this movie slows down to the point is like, there's now all of a sudden there's a Halloween party that's happening in this small town. And then, you know, they wind up going to the, then we have that whole entire, that scene being played out where Elizabeth's afraid to look under the bed and the mother's like, oh, quit being silly girl and everything. There's nothing under your bed. Elizabeth goes on ahead, picks up the bunny, and she looks and there's the Trantor. And the Trantor winds up there.
The classic, he's right behind me, isn't he?
But I do like how whenever you see that that scene that's playing out with Greg, how big the body is for the kid, and then all of a sudden it shrinks into a wooden doll. Like, it comes into normal size and it keeps on shrinking. So I like the stop motion of the special effects for that.
Yeah, they did a great job with that.
And then the townspeople are pissed off because their kids are disappearing. This other douchebag is mad because his garbage hasn't been picked up in 2 days because Ernest is busy trolling.
Everybody's worried about their kids and this guy. My garbage hasn't been picked up.
There's always this one person that shows up, right, when shit goes wrong. Like, I remember during the pandemic, for example, when everybody's, look, we're only going to live one customer inside here, that when we're not going to do cigarettes, we're only going to do necessities. Okay. Oh, I want cigarettes. I want 2 packs where I'm like, you did not listen to a single word. This is just as that guy is complaining about the trash while other people are panicking about their kids as well.
Yeah, forget about your kids, my
There's
trash.
Always that one guy. There's always that one guy.
He's definitely one of those. I don't know if you guys seen on TikTok, like the TikTok Terry, where they're like, F them kids. That was that guy's moment. You know, he was like, screw the kids, get my trash. Like,
I want my trash, Ernest.
I want my trash out of here. I don't want to look like old lady Hackmore's house.
Right.
I can't pick it up. You know what I'm talking about?
You know what I mean?
But now the Trantor later causes a disturbance at the school Halloween bash, which culminates into a fight with Ernest. Mysterious, he flees from the school after Ernest is covered in frozen yogurt. The townspeople, having seen Trantor with their own eyes, go to the treehouse and attempt to defeat him. At the same time, several local children, led by Kenny, determine that he can be destroyed by exposed to milk. They steal some of the convenience store's milk and head to the treehouse on their bikes. So, I like how it sets up this whole entire Halloween bash that they have. You have the douchebag bully that's going on stage, and goes, ah, that's an ugly Halloween costume, and starts punching the troll. I'm like, you are such a douche. And then you also have the mayor's over there presenting as well. I'm like, man, this mayor doesn't do anything either in this town while you're trying to talk about Ernest. But you also have that other moment, too, where Ernest winds up capturing what he thought was a troll, but it ended up being the mayor's sons. And I'm like, so they're not grounded? There's no repercussions for that, right, Mayor? They're in the back of a compact bike, yet Ernest loses his job because...
No, Ernest is fired.
Yeah.
You're fired.
But yeah.
I definitely think the bully should have got the bumper sandwich.
But I think that it was perfect the way that the troll... In every horror movie, you always have the douchebag, right? The one that's always the one that we want to be killed off. So I'm to be... The troll winds up turning him into a wooden
statue.
A wooden statue. So it was actually perfect for that horror trope.
I definitely agree with that.
But you also have Ernest and the Trantor also facing off in the truck as well before this happens too. And I love this. I love the fact that you have Ernest actually going driving down the road. And Rimshot is driving the truck, which is actually the producers of the movie taught the dog how to do that.
Wow.
So that's actually him. Kimberly, hey, how's it going, Kim? But yeah, you have the dogs, the dog actually driving the truck. All that was part of the production of that. But then what's funny is, all right, okay, Booger Lips, how about a knuckle sandwich? And he's like, I've been trained in the arts of karate, and starts doing the nunchucks and ends up hitting himself in the head. And then that field. So then he winds up knocking the troll out of the truck. And then after that, the troll winds up taking the rope that was thrown at him and starts pulling him in. So what did you guys think about those scenes? Go ahead and pick a flick.
Man, I gotta tell you, Ernest facing off against the troll was very funny. Just thinking, oh, this is gonna be very easy. Just write him off, you know, just get this troll stuff. It's gonna be easy, but no, they're formidable threats enough. But just seeing all these slapstick moments and troll trying to pull him back, and it's kind of like a nice little game of tug and war, just back and forth. Ernest is like, you know what? Rim shot, let's put it in reverse. And the producer, I'm like, put it in reverse. And he's actually able to do it and knock him out. And somehow, once again, the troll's able to disappear. Maybe that was milk instead of oil under the truck. Who knows? Ready to go.
But yeah. And then, of course, this is also where he winds up trying to rip off the door. Remember that, too? Where the troll rips off the door. And he goes, I'm smarter than you, because he locked the door. And instead he goes over to... Yeah.
He's like, I can still get in. You know, surprise. You didn't stop me by trying to lock it.
Right. But what about for you, Heidi? I mean, was there anything that stood out for you as far as the troll, the face-off with the troll and stuff like that that I mentioned?
I wish they would have added, like, Ernest's laugh to it, like his You know, they should have given more of that little bit of earnest to him. But it was definitely an epic battle between them. I thought it was pretty funny, because just the way that, you know, the troll portrayed it, like he said, I'm definitely smarter than you, you know. That right. What do you think that's gonna stop me? And like he said, going back and forth. You know, it was just one of those moments where you're like, oh, okay, who's going to win this one? Because every time Ernest gets so far of trying to win, then something happens where it pulls him back because of his stupidity.
Right.
So I think it was well played.
I think so, too. And then of course, he winds up in a barrel, and he winds up rolling down the barrel. Bobby and them winds up hitting Ernest after he was like, mayday, mayday, going down, and he winds up hitting, they wind up hitting Ernest, not realizing it's Ernest inside the barrel. He rolls down to the Cragmire's house, and he has the troll book, like this. He's laying down, and the Cragmire woman is over there trying to get him with this huge cutter, and trying to get him out of the barrel, which I thought was hilarious. And then
right. He
goes, I know what we need. And you can see clearly that it's supposed to be milk, but it's actually kind of faded away. So it's Miak. We need some Miak.
Right. Miak. And meanwhile, Miak. She's figuring out, like, oh, we have more spares. We don't need spares. We need something different.
It's like that one, was it YouTube or TikTok? But that one video, that boy needs some milk. You know, he fell and hurt himself. That boy needs some milk. That Miak.
He needs some milk.
It was a Miak, is what he
needs. Some Miak.
Oh, you thought I was, you thought I couldn't find any at this time of year.
Well, the troll's like, a roar.
It would be funny if, like, there's, like, some type of captions, like, what the fuck? Like, you know, showing on the captions. It's like, this is not winning.
That's the subtitle on the screen.
What? Like WTF?
Right. Mommy, what does WTF mean? What's the
floor? Thursday or Friday.
That's where's the floor? Mean, where are they from?
Right. And then, of course, that's when we have that other scene where now they're facing up again in the school. Kenny's actually turned into a doll. Like I said, the douchebag ball bag bully is now a doll now. And then Ernest winds up not knowing what's going on. And all this is happening while Cragmire is actually outside witnessing the pizza woman costume with the little beer. And they're actually having a confrontation with the little girl that's dressed up as a beer. Just, I love you, Mom. I love you, too. And then you figure out, oh, it's the mother's care. It's the mother's milk. And then Ernest is facing off against them. So, against the troll again. And then Ernest is now, again, knocked off his butt. And he's covered with milk. He's covered with soft-served ice cream. And everything. And he's like this. And he's like, oh, gross. And then the townspeople are asking if he's okay, surprisingly. And then they decide, oh, let's go on ahead. Let's take the kids who they're turning into dolls, wooden dolls, to this wooden house, to this tree. I'm thinking to myself, this is not going to go well for you.
Oh, it's going to go real well.
But also, too, this is also where Rimshot also becomes a wooden dog.
Yeah, that was...
But it didn't even look like a wooden dog. It looked like something I've seen from Son-in-Law.
Yeah, that was...
With Pauly Shore, where he's actually
that
crying.
Was sad.
It didn't even look like a wooden dog. It looked like something I've seen from Son-in-Law. Yeah, that was
Pauly Shore, where he's actually
that
crying.
That was sad. It didn't even look like a wooden dog. It looked like something They could have better things.
But yeah, they could have done something more with the dog, within the dog and everything, to be honest with you. I thought that was actually something that they could have done better. But yeah. It does, like I said, it doesn't look like a wooden dog. It looks something like you would actually carve something out of.
Like I'm going to carve some ears a little bit.
Right. It looked like something I would make if I knew how to carve something, which I don't. So it's a Picasso.
Genius. There you go. There's your dog. Use it.
Right. Exactly.
Shot. He gone.
But yeah, I just didn't like the look of the how it was wooden. I understand that the dog is kind of, you know, down over here blocking his eyes, but it still looked off-putting. But I also like how, you know, where you have the scene where Ernest actually bangs into the tree and he has a rim shot. Are you okay? Yeah, you're good. You're a wooden dog. But yeah, the townspeople now believes Ernest, but at the same time, you're bringing your own kids into this battle with the trolls, and the main troll can turn your kids into wooden dolls. Not a good move, I don't think.
Well, what about they thought it was genius.
But what about for you guys? What about for you, Heidi? What did you think?
Okay.
Well, I definitely wish I could like tell my kids like you better behave and mind your manners or we're gonna have you.
Well, I definitely wish I could like tell my kids
turned in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so next scene, the Trantor later causes a disturbance at the Trantor reaches the treehouse first and. Having acquired the necessary number of dolls, begin to raise a troll army.
Okay, so I'm having some technical difficulties over here. But anyway, like I was saying, I was definitely going to tell my kids because my 15-year-old sat down and watched it with me. And she's like, really, Mom? But I'm like, yeah, you better mind your manners or, you know, don't make me find a way to turn you into a wooden doll. You know, she just kind of rolled her eyes at me being that typical teenager.
But then the Trantor reaches the treehouse first and having acquired the necessary number of dolls, begins to raise the troll army. The townspeople arrive and battle the now numerous dolls, but are quickly overwhelmed. The children appear to and begin attacking them with milk. Meanwhile, Trantor receives a greater powers and becomes impervious to milk. The trolls are soon defeated, and everyone believes that they have won. However, Trantor appears and quickly transforms Kenny into his fifth victim. So, the thing that I have to say with this, so there's a lot happening. So, Trantor reaches the treehouse first. Like I said, Ernest winds up trying to hit him. Then, he winds up then we wind up seeing all those other split personalities with Ernest.
Right. Again.
I like how Kenny goes, oh, great, the split personalities.
I was with him. I was like, the first time I was like, okay, this is decently funny. But when he brought it back in, I was like, all right, we don't have no time for this. They're literally trolls that are about to turn everybody in the wood.
You know what, though? I actually Googled if he had, like, a split personality disorder or something just to see if, like, there was, like, any origin of Ernest. But no, there isn't. But I just thought it was hilarious, though, on how they did that, though. Because now you have the little old woman that's in there with, like, the neck brace from Ernest Goes to Jail. You also have the hairstyle agent in there, too, right, as well. Gee, she's spicy. Wow. But, yeah. But I like, oh, they're using their hook things. And then she sprays the troll with the hairspray. Because hairspray fixes everything. Like, it's everything. Like a hairspray ad. But then you also have the other thing happening, too, where Ernest is going around the tree with the trolls. And he hides in the tree and then ducks out. And then after that, after they duck out, he ducks in the tree and then he winds up basically making them go around again, chasing each other. Right. But yeah, I just thought that was hilarious. Milk gets rid of trolls. Got it. See, yep, that's right, Tamika. That's right. Milk gets rid of tree. Gets rid of trolls. Yep. But genius. I liked how also too the Armageddon thing that they have for like the last two trolls was perfectly funny though too, with the little old man goes, oh, they left the last two trolls to me. But what I don't get is, okay, Kenny winds up spraying her with the gun, right? Mm-hmm, and then right. Spraying the troll with the gun. Ernie with the milk Ernest, gun. Huh?
With the milk gun.
Yeah, with the milk gun. But then you have Ernest who goes and spraying milk on him, on the troll, and it dies. But then again, the love of that's just one of those things. But with you, then also too, you also have trolls that are eating the bullets that belong to Kenny's father and spitting them out and shooting at the father. You also have the bee guy who's complaining about the trash getting spanked with his own bee stinger as well. But what do you think of the chaos within that whole entire scene? What was your favorite scenes that stood out to you as far as the bits go?
I think the funniest bit for me was as old lady Hackmore Eartha Kitt is trying to find some more clues. There's a troll that comes right to her and tries to roar in her face, trying to scare her off. And Eartha Kitt yells right back at the troll's like, oh, you got it. You got it, and just runs off.
It was definitely a chaotic scene.
Right. But was there anything that really made you laugh on those scenes or anything, Heidi, as far as...
Trying to think what really, really stood out to me on that scene. On those scenes there. I think more towards...
Mm-hmm.
When... Ernest realized all the kids get turned back in and come back, and he's still missing his one love. But yeah, it was chaotic and it was hilarious. And I think I liked more when the family started noticing the kids, like, oh, you're right, I wish I would have listened, you know. It showed the togetherness and them working together, and I think that was a great message to put in that throughout all that chaos. It gives kids and parents, it teaches them, no matter how chaotic life can be, when you work together, you know, you can accomplish anything. And I thought that was a good message to have.
I think so too. And then the other key moment though too is when you see the troll making the basically making a deal with the devil to become stronger and stuff like that. I thought that was his arms become stretched out a lot more. He's got things coming out of his head. And then finally, Ernest puts it together. Ernest the Kid's character is like, he doesn't get it. It's the milk. It's the milk.
It's more than that. It's more than that.
Thank you. I needed the impression.
It's motherly love. It's motherly love. And potions.
And voodoo. But no, but I do like that whole entire scene where now Ernest is looking around the townspeople. He goes, wait, it's the mother's care. It's the milk. So he goes, come here, big fella. And dances with the troll and then kisses the troll.
With the star.
Terrifyingly cute.
And then he spits the milk out on him. And then he's having basically trauma from the milk. And just starts shaking, having an aneurysm from it. And then explodes like Jaws. But, and then of course, Ernest is over there telling the townspeople, oh, it's no big deal. That troll knew what he was doing. He knew he messed with the wrong one. And then as he's talking, the kids are coming out from the back of the tree. This is just me thinking, if the troll really wanted to, he could actually build a whole nother army with touching all those other kids and doing the same thing over again.
Well, kind of like with the tree, if you noticed, every time he took a soul from a kid,
yeah,
he had like these little troll babies hanging from the tree.
Right, kind of like an alien type. Right.
Yeah.
But then again, it might take him a little bit to grow that, because then he has to try and get to the tree. So, yeah, that'll be another 2-hour movie. But
yeah, we don't need that.
No. But there is a fan theory. There is a fan theory, and Tamika and I love our fan theories. Oh. So there is a fan theory that's out there right now. Let's go. The headstones are seen in the film's poster, but there is no cemetery in the film itself. As speculated by the fans of the antagonist, Trantor, the troll, was originally supposed to dig up dead children to feed his army, and Ernest was a caretaker for a cemetery. This theory hasn't been confirmed, but it would seem likely. What do you think? I think that'd be a little too dark for a children's movie, but...
Yeah.
It's definitely dark, but if you look back into, like, Ernest Goes to Camp, he was, when they got around the campfire, they were in, like, the sacred woods of Native Americans. Like, where... I don't want to say burial.
So are you saying, I'm joking around right now, but are you saying that Stephen King's Pet Cemetery is connected with Ernest Scared Stupid and therefore it's on Indian burial ground? So therefore maybe this
I'm thinking like just like they did with like the Shop of Horror. You know, they've drawn it could be. You never know.
Right. But it's just me having some fun with fan theories, and people hate it whenever I do it. But guess what? I'm gonna put this on TikTok.
But it's fun.
I like the fan theory though, because it keeps it more intriguing, and it definitely gives the story a little bit more pop, you know, and definitely can build a fan base, because now, if you're anything like me and you can't remember something, and you got to try hard until you get it. Like a name or what was the name of that movie? And you're going to sit there and think about it and think about it. It's the same thing with fan theories, you know, because now you're going to be like, well, if they bring out another movie, you know, maybe I'll get my answer. So,
right.
You just then you also, know.
But I also like how everybody else has their family, or the kid's got her family now.
Mm-hmm.
But Ernest is over there like a kid who doesn't have anything for Christmas. And I feel bad for him. He's heartbroken. He goes, what's wrong, Ernest? There's nothing in that tree for me. And then all of a sudden you see Rimshot come out of the truck. And comes over there just licking his face and everything. And he's just happy. And then Eartha Kitt just kind of rolls her eyes.
And looks at the camera.
He looks at the camera and is like, really? Just like how this clip.
Catch me in the next movie. Boomerang with Eddie Murphy. Bottom. Right.
But anyways, okay, so now that we stripped away the nostalgia, now that we talked about it scene by scene, how do you feel about a pick and play?
Hey, man, it was fun. Stupid fun. You know, I was not born when this happened, so probably not the best person to ask for it, but if I was a kid, I would have freaking loved this movie. It's really good with the practical.
6-year-old me in the theater being scared, there was a reason why I was scared.
Yeah, I can see it.
But Heidi, I was just talking to pick a flick. What, now that we actually stripped away the nostalgia, what do you give this now? I know we were an 8 when we came into it with the nostalgia, which now Will Smith MI beat us, and that's no more. So what do you?
Well, looking at it in an older, more mature point of view, if I was being Siskel and Ebert, you know, I would probably still rate it like they rated it. But considering that I am in the entertainment business with filming and stuff, the story behind it is still, you know, it does have a great story, especially for Halloween. Will I ever say it's compared to Hocus Pocus? Probably not.
No.
It doesn't hold bars to Hocus Pocus at all, or any of the other Halloween movies that they have out there. But for it being a Jim Varney with Ernest, I still give it like maybe a 7.5, like just for the efforts.
Okay. I would have to go at least a 6.5 out of 10, just because of the fact that some of the stuff just doesn't hold up as much as I wanted to with the dialogue. And yes, I am laughing at some of it. The first time I watched it was for nostalgia. Then the second time I rewatched it today was for the actual stripping away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, I love this. I love watching it. I love Jim Varney. I love Ernest. I'm having a good time with it. But there's some stuff that doesn't connect well as an adult as it did as a kid, which is something.
Right. Like the trash compactor, for example.
Right.
Like, we know that would have killed him.
Right. You know, but then again, it's the 90s, though. Things like this is the 90s. There's no safety restrictions in the 90s. They didn't have nothing to really stop it, in a sense, I guess. Because look at what they made us play on the playground with. Metal slides. There was no...
Yeah. Merry-go-rounds that you fly off of with no helmets.
Right, exactly. But for me as a kid, for me as an adult, I had a great time watching it. I'm glad I rewatched it and was able to watch this, because it's actually underrated. Everybody talks about Hocus Pocus. Everybody talks about all these other kid-friendly movies. No one really talks about Ernest. So yeah, I'm going to have to say I had a great time watching this. I can't wait to go on ahead and rewatch some more old Ernest movies and stuff in the future. But pick up, like, my question.
It's, go ahead. Like, for the Ernest movies, it's definitely his worst one. But it has a great storyline.
I would say Ernest Rides Again would be his worst one. That's just my opinion.
Well, I can't really say that because I didn't watch that one yet.
I think that one in theaters as well.
Okay. For me, Ernest Rides Again is the only one that I haven't seen. So I can't really compare it. But maybe, okay. But to me, this one was... just because of, like, the simple thing.
Mm-hmm. Just for the simple...
little bits, you know, that kind of stuff just sticks out. The whole part of, like, the kid's not... If a grown man came to you and said, hey, there's trolls, nobody's going to believe that, you know? No. So the storyline itself, like, it's great for a children's point of view story. But as watching it as an adult, for an adult flick, you know, it definitely lowers the value of it.
Right, because kids are going based off face value of that, of the fact that there is something mysterious going on in the town, something's going on. But, pick a flick, my question is for you. Does this leave the door open for you to check out more Ernest movies, or you're just like, okay, this is my Halloween movie, this is the one that I want to watch for Halloween, and that's how it's going to be?
You know, this does open the door for me to check out some more Ernest movies in the future. you know, when I get around to them, I do want to see some of the earlier ones.
I think
know Jen Vardy by this one in Toy Story. I want to see her.
I think that you like Ernest Goes to Jail, which is fantastic, and Ernest Goes to Camp. Those are the two that I recommend that you. I think they will actually have a good time with.
All right. I'll have to check those out.
But yeah, that's going to be it as far as the show goes. Pick a Flick will be on the show for Wednesday for our Penguin review, but Rossi will be joining us for that, and Don for the Multiverse of Geekdom will be joining us for that as well. 8:30 Central Time, 9:30 Eastern Time for that. I will be doing another show on Thursday with Marilyn Knapp, and we're going to be covering Startup Echoes with Kevin Bacon. Well, Kevin won't be on the show, but we're going to be doing the review that's starring Kevin Bacon. But but yeah, I'm excited to be able to dive through that movie scene by scene as well. That's going to be at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. I will have another guest with me sometime this week as well. We're going to be doing our top 5 opening movie scenes in a movie. So stay tuned for that. And that's going to be it. I hope that everyone has a great and safe night. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. See ya later.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.